the Nanuim with the Lulav. We have Nanuim. When do we first do Nanuim with the Lulav? When we make the Bracha. The Gemara doesn't say that anywhere. Not explicitly. It doesn't. The Mishnah says, V'heichan hayu menanin, and it's going to identify where in the halal you do Nanuim. It doesn't say anything about the Bracha. However, Tosfos, Dibar Mascha Behodu Lashem, after discussing the halal part, he writes on the first of the slightly wider lines, V'shas Bracha lamatzinum chayv l'nanea b'tchilas netila, ela medamrina b'pirkin katana yodeh l'nanea chayv b'lula mashma d'manea b'tchilas ha-bracha, afopishen yodeh l'gros ha-halal. If you're talking about a katan, we say a katan yodeh l'nanea, presumably it doesn't mean a katan knows how to say the halal. It means a katan who knows at least how to make the bracha on the lulav and to do the nanuim. So it sounds like you do nanuim even just on the bracha. V'yom nidetanim v'sechas brachos perik tilas, besof tilas ha-shachar, hiktim lotzeis l'derach mevim lo shofar v'tokeh lulav v'menanea megillah v'koribo mashma d'manea b'lo halal. But you're not saying halal at the time, but you're doing the primary mitzvah sayom, the lulav, the shofar, etc. So those are things that you do, in fact, do nanuim when you make a bracha, and that is our practice. When we make the bracha, even before we say halal, we do the nanuim.
Yes? The assumption that nanuim are part of the mitzvah in some way. So if you are using the lulav in some capacity, in some mitzvah capacity, you're going to want to do the nanuim, like an accompanying component.
Where is the Gemara?
So the
answer is, I'm almost certainly not Ma'akev. We'll talk about that in the Gemara in a moment. There is a Gemara somewhere, but I don't remember where. Did we read the Gemara already? I thought we did, but because I don't think it's subsequent. So the practice is, I must have seen it when I was reading the Shulchan Aruch. The problem when you do mitzvah shluv and esrog is that you pick it up and you go to the mitzvah. And there's a problem because the bracha has to be over l'asiyasan. And therefore, if you pick up the lulav and esrog, you're yotze, and you can't make the bracha anymore. So there are a number of different eitzos that are offered for this. The one that most of you have been taught is that you pick up the esrog upside down, and because it's not derech gedelaso, therefore you're not yotze with it, you make the bracha and you turn it around. Others have the three suggestions, I think, that are quoted in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch himself, is that you pick it up and you have kavana not to be yotze until you make the bracha. Okay. Others, the Rambam, I think, says that you just don't pick them up until you make the bracha. Right, we used to think you have to have in your hand. The Rambam says, no, it could be lying on the table. In fact, according to the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, you could pick up 1 minute at a time, all consecutive, as long as they're all there, and you yotze that way. You don't have to be holding them at the same time. Right, we don't paskin al pidin lulav tzarach again. And then I think somebody, maybe the Rambam, quotes those who say what you're suggesting, which is that you're not going by the mitzvah until you finish the nanuim, and that's why you made, I think somebody quotes that such a thing. I don't think that's the practice. I think the assumption, and you'll see why in this Gemara, is that your yotze, as soon as you pick up the tenufa, the nanuim of the lulav is not actually ma'akev the mitzvah at all. So the Mishnah says, v'hechan hayu menanin, behodu l'ashem t'chila v'sof. What's Hodu Lashem Tchila V'Sof? So Rashi points out that all of Mizmar Kof Yud Ches is one Mizmar. So what is the first pasuk in Mizmar Kof Yud Ches? Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasdo. What's the last pasuk? Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasdo. Right before Yehad Lucha. It's the first and last pasuk of the same Mizmar. So just because they print the first four psukim in a nice Tzuras Shira doesn't mean it's not part of the Mizmar. So the Mishnah says that you're menanea in the beginning and the end. Tosus actually quotes the reason why, based upon Psukim in Divrei Hayamim. It says in Divrei Hayamim, Oziranenu Atzei Hayar. That's actually the same thing that we say Hodu. Hodu Hashem Kiruv Shmo Hodiv Amin Lasav, what we say right after the Baruch Shamar, that Mizmar appears, we say the one from Divrei Hayamim, it also appears in Tehillim Kuf Hei, I believe. They overlap a tremendous amount. So this is the one we say, Aziranu Atzei Hayarim Lefnei Hashem, Kibal Shporos Aretz, and then it says, Uksiv Basrei, Hodu Hashem Kitov Kilam Chasto, and then it says, Imru Hoshienu Lekei Yishenu, and Aziranu Kol Atzei Yar, right? It means literally either to sing or to waver, to wave back and forth. So Oziranu Kalatzayar, the branches of the forest, they're all waving back and forth. So then when do you do that? You do it by Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, and we'll see in a moment for Beis Hillel, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. So the Mishnah says that you do Danu on the first Pasuk and on the last Pasuk. Divrei uva Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Divrei Beis Hillel Veshamei Omer Af Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Just note, by the way, that the correct accent on those words, even though this will annoy many people, is Hoshi'ana and Hatzlichana. The reason I know that is because if you actually can read Tehillim Trop, you will see that the Trop, the accent, is on the last word. And it's the kind of Trop that actually is the primary accent. There's a problem because there's a Dagesh, Verbroyer added Dagishim that were not in the Lepo, apparently, in the Keter. I guess he insisted they had to be there. But in the many of the Tanakh, so you have Ana Hashem, Hoshi'ana, there's a Dagesh in the Nun, which is, since a Nun doesn't take a soft Dagesh, a Beged Kefes Dagesh, because it's not one of the Beged Kefes letters, it's a Dagesh Chazak. It's called the Dagesh Aseme Racheik. I know, that sounds like a foreign language to you, but what that actually means is, you actually need, in order to pronounce that Dagesh Chazak, you have to actually read the two words together. So it would be Ana Hashem Hoshi'ana, and there's a Dagesh in both, in Hoshi'ana. There's no Dagesh, I think, in Hatzlichana. Now, the fact that there's a Dagesh in Hoshi'ana would suggest, but it's not true, that the accent should have been Mila'el. I'm not going to explain to you what the rules of Dagesh Aseme Rache, but it normally only happens when the previous word has the accent Mila'el, not on the last syllable. And thus, from the fact that there's a Dagesh in the Nun would make you think that it should be Hoshi'a, not Hoshi'a. Now the truth is Hoshi'a is probably the normal pronunciation anyway, but the Trup happens to be on the last syllable. That's the way it is. So Reb Breuer, I think, stuck in two Dageshim, one Dagesh, in Hatzlichana as well, but the pronunciation based upon the Trop is Ana Hashem Hoshi'ana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. So Beis Hillel says that you only minaneh abai Hoshi'ana, and Beis Shammai says abai Hatzlichana. You know, obviously, our minhag is that we only do the Nanuim on the first one. Interestingly enough, we repeat each one twice, and it has a Shem Hashem, but each one is half a pasuk. It's a single pasuk where the first half is Ana Hashem Hoshi'ana, and the second half is Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. I don't remember what the dividing trup is. It might be an S. It's probably an Esnach, but that's not even the major dividing thing in Tehillim. Alta, do you have a question?
What's the reason for what's the advantage of shaking your love?
Well, Tosus claims it's based upon the drasha. The in Devar Ayamim, Azir Ramnu Kolatzayar filed by Hodu Lashem and in a Hoshein of Elokei Yeshenu. Right, that's all. It's not a. I'm sure you can find a deeper reason for this particular issue, but that isn't my general proclivities is not looking that direction. Maybe I should. Yes, but in both. Oh, that's interesting. In this particular Tanakh, interesting. The Korain, which is not something to be relied upon generally. I'm serious. They put an accent on the shin, only on the shin of Hoshi'ana, and they only have the dagesh in the nun, which is correct. And then in Hatzlichana, the accent's on the ches, it's a two-part trop, but the accent on the last syllable, followed by a na with no dagesh in it. So this is wrong also. The dageshim are right, but the accent's wrong. He made up a trop here, but I'm pretty sure that's not the trop that's in the keter. So what could be going on here, by the way, it could be a machlokas in the Bali Masorah, how the word is pronounced. Yeah.
In both the article and the Koran, it has the accent on the shin in
I know, and they're both wrong. Because the Keter is our authority. So, and I'm not holding the Keter with me, but I bet you even... I know we normally... Cell phones are not allowed for use in shir, by the way, as a general rule, unless you're asked to use it. But in this particular case, I'm asking myself to use it to look up Sifrei Yesod to see, because I think this is actually the Keter. I may be wrong, but I look in Tanakh, and I look in Sufim, and I'll look in. Where's Tillim? Tillim, and I'll look in. Good. Okay. Sadly, mine is always open to Mizmor Tess, Beis Avel. Okay, that's the one I know by heart, so I don't have to grab a sitter for that. So, all right, let's see what we have here. Let's hide the Mefarshim. So, I'm sure some of you use this very same app. Do they have it correct? Ah, they have it correct. Ana Hashem. Oh, it's very interesting. The accent is on Ana, which is unusual, even though there's a dagish in the nun. Hoshia has the same trop as Hatzlicha, essentially, you know, the exact same trop. And the primary accent's on the ayin. He's taken Rebroyer. He puts a dagish in both nuns. Okay, that's wrong, but fine. So be that as it is. Okay. So, I'm sorry to say, but you don't bring any raya's from Art Scroll or from this. And neither of them is what we would call a sefer muga. Alright. So anyway, the Mishnah continues. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Tzofa Yisi, Bereman Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Shakala Am Hayu Menanin, Sluvaim, Vehem Lo Ninu, Elabanar Shemoshiana. Which is such a beautiful statement, because this actually captures something that you've all probably experienced in your own life. Right? You're in shul, and you're at a point, maybe when you were younger, and you're not quite sure what to do. So what do? You watch what you're doing, and maybe you even look to see what the rabbi is doing, or some people, you know, tell me the chachamim to watch it. This is exactly what's going on, because Judaism is very, historically, was always a very mimetic religion. That's the way it was. But this is really a beautiful example. He said, Sofer Hayisi. Right? He said, I was watching. I was waiting to see Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, who were the elders, right? Rabbi Akiva was the next generation. I wanted to see what were they going to do. And everybody, the olam is a golem. They were menanean on Hashem Atzlichano, but Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel, so they knew what they were doing. The only woman anea on anashem hoshi ana. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara says nianua mandachar shemei. Now before we talk about that, Tosus just has this discussion. That very same Tosus. Some minhagim emerge that seem to be a little different. Our practice is also a little different than the Mishnah. How does our practice differ than the Mishnah? There's one way in which it differs. No, that you can't tell from the Mishnah, right? There are two practices, by the way, by the Anas. By Hodu, we shake once. As we're going to see in the Gemara, there are six directions that we end up doing. Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Kilam Chasto has seven words. One Rishem Hashem, we don't shake there. The way one should shake, theoretically, there are two patterns in which one could shake in terms of the directions. But the normal way would go forward, right, because you always go to the right then, behind, left. Those are the four directions of the world, and then up and down. Theoretically, one could argue for maybe how do you know that you do the up-down after the sideways? So it could be, as the formulation of the Mishnah is, molech umevi, male umorid, which is that order, or the Gemara's basis is asher hunath, vasher huram. All right, Tanufa is in the directions this way. Huram is up and down. So probably that's why it should be done directions first. By the Anas, there is a chiluke minhag that are cited. My personal practice is to do on each syllable. There are six syllables. Ana, hoshi, ana, and to do one direction each syllable. Some people have the practice of doing two directions on each word. The nafkamina being, will you do three wavings on Hoshi'a, or will you do two? And then will you do one ana or two ana? All right, those are both acceptable minhagim. But we do one thing that departs from the Mishnah, one additional na'nuim, which doesn't make sense, but it seems the Tosas, in his day, they did even more than that. Where's the one other place where na'nuim is done, not in what the Mishnah enumerates? Morning? The Chazan and Yomar Na, which it is, seems to be the Minhag, and he doesn't do the other two, but it probably is not correct. So it was the original Minhag. Tosus talks about that. We in fact, personally, there are a lot of people who do this, and if it's printed in Siddurim, and some Siddurim that way, I don't think it's correct. But when you have the Chazan reciting those things, most people say what the Chazan says and then says Hodu, which actually doesn't make any sense. The purpose of saying Hodu Lashem is the way Hallel was once recited. This parak was probably recited by the Chazan said, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Kilam Chasto. We'll get to it, God willing, first Bekiyas next semester. And then what does the Tzibur reply when he says, Hodu Lashem Kilam Chasto? Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Chasto. The Chazan says, Yom Anoi Yisrael Kilam Chasto, and the Tzibur responds, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Chasto. And the next pasuk, again, and again, and again, and again, and again, down to the end of the Mizmar. That's probably how the classic Hallel was recited, which worked much better anyway, because since people didn't have Siddurim, only the Chazan needed to know the Hallel. So I think that when we say Hodu on those first four psukim in response to the Chazan, that's in lieu of saying what the Chazan says. So it doesn't make sense both to say Yomar Na and Yomru Na and Yomru Na, and then also say Hodu Hashem Kitel Chasto. My personal practice is that when there's a real Hallel and they're singing, so I just say Hodu. When they daven up Hallel, which, you know, like on Rosh Chodesh, which maybe should be a Bracha Levatala, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but then I just say regular, because this is not real Hallel, so I just say the Pesukim, you know, rather than saying Hod Hashem Ki Tfilim Chasto. But I don't say both. Yeah.
So if you were to daven B'Yechidus, what should you do?
Oh, then you just say the regular. You don't say, of course you don't say the Hodus in between.
Yeah, but do you say all the chazans?
Yeah, that's all you say. You say Hodu Hashem, then you say Yomar Na, then you say Yomar, then you say Yomar Na. It's a regular thing. It's only the only time you'd say Hodu is in response to the chazan. Avram?
I guess this is a bit of an aside. What do you paskin for Hallel on Yom Hatzmahut?
I generally follow the minute of the shul that I'm in. My shul happens now to make a bracha on Hamas, so I make a bracha. Yes. Okay. Answer that question.
Is it more or less of a bracha levatal than Rosh Chodesh?
Less, if they sing it. If they don't sing, in Hallel, I'm no different than any other balabas who wants to get out of shul because I've got a lot of things to do. But I kind of feel like it defeats the purpose of Hallel if you don't have singing, right? What's the point that you run through several mizmori tilm? It kind of, it's like, what's the point? Yes, Morty.
Is the reason for the doubling up of all the psukim at the end the same reason, like?
No, the reason why I think Rashi on the Mishnah on Lam Chesan Aleph explains why. It's the Mishnah. Next Mishnah says not the next Mishnah. Two Mishnayos on Banu Chesan Aleph says Malkum Shenagul Lichpol Yichpol Lishol Yivshot. The minhag was to double the psukim, you double. So Rashi explains that when you look in that mizmor, pretty much all the earlier material in the Mizmar is doubled by itself, right? Yemin Hashem, Yemin Hashem, they're partially double psukim. Only when you get to Odecha is there no really doubling anymore, and that's where the minhag came to double everything at the end. Okay. So our minhag is, in fact, to double. So now the Gemara says, Ne'anu aman d'char shemei. When the Mishnah begins by stating, V'heichan ha'yemananin, there's a very large elephant in the Mishnah. I mean, it's being assumed, but nobody said anything. Before you say Meheichan Hayimananin, you have to say Mitzvah Linanea. And you have to tell us it's a mitzvah. It's the same observation that the Gemara opens Shas with. Me'emasai Koran Ashma Ba'arvin. What's so odd about that Mishnah? First thing you should say is that Mitzvah Likros Kriya Shema Arvis V'Shachris. Okay, now go. So the Gemara has to say Tana Hechakai. Where was the Tana holding when he stated that? It is the characteristic of rabbinic literature, the Mishnah, is that it makes certain assumptions about your knowledge. And therefore, you have to just know that as you start particularly reading the thing. The way it is. So here, the Gemara wants to know, Ni'anu aman d'char shemei. Whoever mentioned Nanuim. So the Gemara says, Hasam koi, kol lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tfachim, kidei linanea bo kosher. And as the earlier Mishnah, when speaking about the shear of lulav, spoke about kidei linanea bo, we say, ukidei linanea bo. That's how the Gemara explained it. So you see, why would the lulav require a shir kidei linaneh if there are no mitzvah nanum? Obviously, it's a mitzvah nanum. And now the Mishnah says, v'heichan ha'yimananin. So that's why, v'kamar heichan mananin. Tanan hasam, shtei alechem u'shnei chifsei atzeres, keitzat huwose. So, the shtei halechem, what were the shtei halechem? Very apropos to this particular Gemara. There's a comment Tosus has which brings us full circle around to the beginning of the semester.
Shalechem was the korban for Shavuot.
Yes.
The agricultural one, right?
That's right. And what was the Omer?
The Omer was the historic. No.
What was the korban Omer, guys? Come on. 16th. The korban and Pesach, the agricultural korban. What do you do with both of those korbanos, by the way? You were the tznufa. You molech and maybe malam morid. Is it interesting? What do we do with the lulav? What's that? Why? Because the lulav is the agricultural mitzvah sukkah, which I suggested in the air. I just noticed in the Tosus has the observation. He quotes a source that I wasn't aware of. He said, Tosus writes, Kedei latzar ruchas rose. the perakol amenachos bos matzah chashiv kol atunim tenufa v'shema lo bechol tenufos osim kain eladavkas betenufa shtei alechem datzeres v'chein alulav. And there was lots of karbanos had tenufa. The Mishnah lists all of them, but Tosfos thinks maybe davka by the shtei alechem. He doesn't say the omer, maybe the omer too. And the lulav, you do that. Mishud namrinim perakam b'derash Hashanah. The gzar din nechtam bepesach alatua b'tzeres alperes ha'ilan b'chag alamayim. V'lakach hanenua b'lishav lulav sheyesh b'holach avhova. Right, Tosfos is saying exactly that. These are the three agricultural mitzvahs. These are the three things that have the tenufa and the truma, as we would call. Truma is huram, and tenufa is hunav. So I just thought this was very nice, bringing us full circle back to the beginning of the semester. But the nanuim on the lulav are because you do tenufa on the omer, you do tenufa on the shtei lechem, and you do tenufa on the lulav, because that's the agricultural korban of sukkah. And just to remind you, remember the Rambam in his koteret to Hilchos Shofar Sukkah of lulav says the mitzvah is to wave the lulav in the mikdash. Right? He doesn't say, even though we hold it's Doraisa, Bigvulin first day, when the Rambam formulates the mitzvah, it's the mitzvah to wave the lulav in the mikdash. And that's why we also explained that the parsha of Sukkot is really broken up into two parts. Right? The first part is those two parts are together. Sukkah and Arba Minim are together. That's the historical and the agricultural mitzvah of Sukkot. The first part was the mitzvah of Yom Tov, right? That was the Mikra Kodesh. Okay. Fine. So Tananasam Shtei Alechem Ushnei Kivsei Atzeres Ketzer Oose. What was unique about the Shtei Alechem, by the way? What kind of crop was used for the Shtei Alechem? No, that was for the Omer. Wheat was used for the only two menachos that have barley. The Mincha Sota, he also said Masa Behema Laficha Karmena Machal Behema, and the Omer because the wheat wasn't ripe yet. What was unique about the Shtei Alechem? Morty. It's the only thing that was chametz. The Torah says, "Ki chol se'or v'chol d'vash l'satirin menu shel Hashem." There was one item in the mikdash that qualified as dvash, and one item in the mikdash that qualified as se'or. Neither was brought on the mizbeach. The item that was se'or was there were two things actually. Technically, there was also the chametz of the toda. There are 40 lachmei toda, 4 minim. One of the 4 kinds was matzah. Achalos lechem chametz yekriv karbanah, but none of the lachmei toda were put on the mizbeach. The Kohen just took one of each 10. That was the Chazar B'Shok from the Lechem. So the Shtei Lechem and the Todah are the only Chametz. And what is the only Devash that you had in the Mikdash? Also not brought on the Mizbeach? The Bikurim. What part of this Karban Mincha was in fact brought for the Mizbeach? It was the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres. The Shnei Kivsei Atzeres were fundamentally secondary to the Shtei Alechem. What was unique about the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres, which has no peer, which if you said Karbanos every day, you said Ezu Makomod, you would know. The Tzibur brings a Chatas, the Tzibur brings an Ola on a regular basis. There's only one, the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres were a Karban Shlamim. It is the only Karban Shlamim that is brought by the tzibur. A carbon pesach is often called a carbon tzibur, and a pesach is a kind of shlamim, but a carbon pesach is not actually a carbon tzibur. A carbon pesach is like a carbon tzibur in that it's docha Shabbos and tumah, but that's because it has a zman kavua. The general klal is that most carbonos tzibur have a zman kavua, with really one or two exceptions, which is the par halim davar shel tzibur, and the seirei avodazara of the tzibur, and all carbonos yachid have no zman kavua, with the exception of the Karban Pesach. But a Karban Pesach is fundamentally a Karban Shel Yachid.
What about the Drasha and Kiddushin, the Shachatu Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael, as the Drasha for Shachatu?
That's not a Karban Sibur, that's a Karban Shutfin. That Kol Yisrael Yotzim B'Pesach Echad. So the Shnei Kivsei Atzeres were the only Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, which if you say Ezem Akoman, you might recognize that. Right. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, unlike all other Shlamim, were Kodshei Kodashim, if I'm not mistaken. I'm making that up now because I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure. Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, I think, are Kodshei Kodashim, Shchitasa, Matzafim, Mechizam, Kibol Damim, Chisharas, Matzafim. Morning, you can check in the Siddur if I'm correct about that. Is there a Siddur there?
No.
No, what happened to our Siddur? We've done a Siddur here. All right, I'm not going to check that. I think Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur are treated, a regular Shlamim is a Kodshim Kalim. However, Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur are Kodshei Kodashim. Okay, so what did the Kohen do with the Omer and the Shtei Alechem? So, he would put the Shtei Alechem under the Shnei Kvasim, umaniach yadav tachtem umenich umenif umolich umevi male umorit. So here the Mishnah talks about molech umevi, front and back, male umorit. Shenemar asher hunaf vasher huram. It's not clear in this first statement whether or not the tenufa involves right and left as well. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, molech umevi lemisha arba rucho shelo, male umorit lemisha shamayim va'aretz shelo. So the molech umevi is to indicate that God is the master of the entire universe, forward, backwards, right and left. And male is to indicate that God is the master of the universe, up and down. B'marava masnu hachi. In Eretz Yisrael, they taught differently. Amar Rav Chama bar Uchva, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, molech umevi kedei latzor ruchos ra'os. That was in order to prevent the bad winds, the harmful winds. If you think that winds can't be harmful, just think about hurricanes and tornadoes. Male umorid kedei latzor tlalim ra'im. Up and down, so the, for the prevention of bad dew. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef, Barabin, v'itema Rav Yosef bar Zevila, zos omeres shiyare mitzvah ma'akvin es apuranus, which is interesting. He's saying the things that are shiyare mitzvah, that are not ma'akev the mitzvah, are still so important that they are ma'akev the puranus. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere, I don't remember where in Yoma says, now I don't know if that Rashi quotes a Gemara from Yoma, but I think the Gemara there says, with respect to achilas kodshim, if you fail to eat the kachim, are you yotzei the mitzvah?
Yes,
you are yotzei. Achila is not makev. Even a karban pesach, the achila is not makev. A karban pesach is unique because ordinarily, if I have a karban where the basar became tamei before zrikas hadam, and I'm not going to be able to eat the basar, it may, so we paskin, if the dam is tahor, you're allowed to throw the dam even though no one is ever going to be able to eat the meat. And you are yotzei your chiyav of that karban. We don't say pour the blood out and start again. By a karban pesach, at the time that the dam is thrown, it is impossible to eat the meat already. Let's say because the bailim are tameh or because the meat is tameh, you're not yotzei the karban. The karban pesach beitzumo is bala achila. And you know that because what's the din when a karban pesach is brought betumah? Do they eat the karban? Yes, they do. When it comes to other karbanos that are brought betumah, I believe the kohanim do not eat the basar because the basar is not ma'akev de'achila. But by karban pesach, the whole purpose of the karban pesach is la'achila. So if you don't eat it, it's not ma'akev. But if it's not roi la'achila b'shazirika sadam, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. All of the karbanos should be yotzei the mitzvah. So the din is the Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, "Achlu osam asher kupar bohem la'mal le'as edam le'kadesh osam," that achila of the karbanos helps with the kapara. And the expression the Gemara uses that the kohan don't eat it, malalavakas of ilulo kiper v'kiper. The Torah treats it as if you didn't achieve atonement, even though it's mechaper. What does it mean that's mechaper? It means you don't bring another karban. But the evid you yotze. But even shiyare kapara are essential. And here the Gemara says, shiyare mitzvah, ama akven es apuranus. And the Torah says, lisnufa l'chaper alav, that's what Rashi quotes from Yoma. Even though it's not ma'akev, it's like it's ma'akev the kapara, and the shiari mitzvah contribute greatly by being ma'akev es haparana shrei tenufa shiari mitzvah hi va'utzeres ruchos utlalim roim. So if you didn't do the tenufa, you're yotzei. As a general rule, what is ma'akev? What avodos are ma'akev the karban? There are four avodos that are essential for the karban, without which, by an animal, which are ma'akev the karban. The four things which you can make it piggle in, what are those things? A basic introduction to Zvachim. Zrikas Adam is one. What? Animals. Right now. I'll tell you what the equivalent of each one of these is in my menachos. Zrikas Adam, what else is Ma'akev? Kabbalah Saddam. Shrita Saddam. Shrita Saddam. And? Holach Alam is Be'ach. Haktara is not Ma'akeves. Nonetheless, by the way, you see how precious Shiyari mitzvah are, because if you bring a karban tzibur on Shabbos, you're allowed to burn the emurim on Shabbos, even though you could burn them at night. But it's not ma'akev, the karban. Haktar is not ma'akev, heshef nituach is not ma'akev, achilas pas is not ma'akev, tenufa is not ma'akeves, none of that's ma'akev. Shchita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrika. The last three require kahuna. What are the equivalent of these four by menachas? What is the equivalent by a korban mincha of zrikas adam? Haktara on the mizbeach of the kometz, unless it's a minchas kohen where you burn the whole thing. Haktara is like zrikas adam. Holacha is the same. What is the equivalent of shchita by a korban mincha? Kmitza. And finally, the equivalent of Kabbalah Saddam by a Karba Mincha is Matan Kometz Bekli. When you put the Kometz into a Kli Sharis, then you walk it to the Mizbeach, you burn it on the Mizbeach. Those are the four central avodas of Menachos and animals, the four things in which you can make the Karban Pigle with the raw Machshava, the four things that are basically Ma'akev, the Karban, you know. A Mincha, you have to have, you don't even have to do Belila, right? If you have the Shemen and the Soles of a Karban Mincha, if you mix just enough to take the Kmitza out of, and you don't mix the rest of it, it's not ma'akev. Provided that, this is a famous klal, we spoke about this earlier this year, Reb Zera's famous rule, kol haroi lebila. That's what he's talking about. Kol haroi lebila, ein bila ma'akev espo. If you have your shemen and solas and you mix it enough, just enough to take the kmitza out of the mix part, because the kmitza has to be mi solto mi shamna, and you don't mix the rest of it, but you could have mixed the rest of it, it's not ma'akev espo mincha. The four avodos, kmitza, matan kometz bekli, Holacha and Haktara is the equivalent of Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. Okay, so those are, see, they're Shiri Mitzvah, and yet they're tremendously important. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mimatile. Rav Yaakov Bar Acha would be Mimatile Maisile. He would move his lula back and forth, and he would say, Amar Dein Gira Ve'ene De Satana. This is like an arrow. We're doing mitzvahs. A poke in the eye of the Satan. And the Gemara says, V'lav milsahi. Doesn't mean it's not a witch. I mean, you shouldn't say that. The osi legaruyebe. You're going to incite the Yetzihara against you. Rashi writes, legaruye shi iskarabo satan shi yetzara v'yasienu litos me'alkono v'yimser atzma al adavar. That last line is interesting. Rashi views the Yetzihara as this other being that's in a competition. I'm going to show you. I would say the Yetzihara is your internal Yetzir. And when you get all high on yourself and thinking, it's a Gira be'ein de satana, you get too high on your horse, and what happens? You fall off. This particular expression is really interesting. I know. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells a story about this. It tells a story about certain rabbis, great rabbis who did this. And Palimo, used to say all the time, Gira be'ein de satan. So one Erev Yom Kippur, the Satan knocks on the door, and he looks like an ani. And he says, can I have bread? So he knocks on the door, so they bring him bread. So he says, he kvetches. You know, it's unfortunate, like sometimes the mashul kvetches, you don't give him enough. He says, everybody's eating inside, and a hugavar is eating outside. So they let him come in. Then they brought him bread. He said, everybody else is eating on the table and I'm eating on the contact, I'm eating by myself. So they put him on the taka. Then he was sitting and he's full of boils and he was busy, you know, doing disgusting things. You know, the equivalent might say he was picking his nose at the table. So they told him, sit nicely, sit like a mensch, Tiv Shapir. So he said, bring me a kos. So he brought him a kos and he spit and all his phlegm in it. So they got angry at him. They snorted at him. And he pretended to keel over and die. So then, and he was spreading the rumors, Plimu killed somebody. So Plimu had to run away, and he hid in the Beis Akise. So the Satan came after him, and he saw he was very much mitzdayer. So he said, why did you say that? Why were you saying Gira Be'ini the Satan? So why do you do this to me? He says, because you said Gira Be'ini the Satan. So what should I say? He said, you should say, Rachmana Nigar Be'ini Satan. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So it's not a good idea. That's what the Gemara says. Earlier, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir were mislotzeitz over Avera. Right? They thought it was not a big deal to overcome their Yetzer. And both of them, the Satan appeared to as a woman and was ready to entrap them but let them go at the last moment. He said, if not for the Machos and Shemayim, he's Zerub Rabbi Akiva and his Torah, so I would have done away with you. Okay, so anyway, so you're not supposed to say Gira Be'ini the Satana. You don't want to get too high on your horse because otherwise you'll fall off. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Mishababa derech v'lohaya b'yad alulav lito l'shikanis l'beis or yitol al shulchana. So it sounds like when you get home, you have to minot al shulchana, which is a little odd expression. What the Gemara understands is that it meant you came home, you started a meal, and you realized that you hadn't ben shulav and esrog. The reason you hadn't done that is because you were Mishababa derech. And therefore, you didn't have a lulav and esrog with you. So the question, of course, is, when is this taking place? If it's Misha Baba Derech, when is this?
It's when the guy gets home in the morning.
I know, but what day of Sukkot was this? Presumably it's Chol HaMoed. Gemara is going to talk about it. Doesn't seem that would be the first day, Misha Baba Derech. So that's the first thing it says. Then it says, Lo Natal Shachris, if you didn't take Lulav in the morning, this is not Misha Baba Derech. Yito Bein Arbaim, then you know Tov Bein Arbaim, Shekol Hayom Kosha Lulav. L'chatchila, it has to be after Netzach Hama, B'diyevet, I think after Alos HaShachar, and it has to be before Shkiyas HaChama. So now the Gemara says as follows, Amris, notla la shulchano. When we say notla shulchano, l'meimra, the mafsik, that if you remember in the middle of your meal that you didn't ben shulav and esrog, you have to stop your meal, ben shulav and esrog, and then you can resume your meal. V'reminhi, we have a stira with a braisa in Shabbos, the first parak, imeschilu ein marsikin. It says that you're not supposed to, a dayan's not supposed to enter into judgment. You're not supposed to start a haircut. You're not supposed to, you know, all sorts of these things you're not supposed to start. A tanner's not supposed to work on a hide. Samuch l'mincha. But if you started, so Gemara is a machlokas, mincha gdol, mincha katana. But if you started, then you're allowed to fit, you don't have to be mafsik. So why is it that here you have to be mafsik, full of an esrog, and there you don't have to be mafsik? So Amar Rav Safra, Lokasha, Hodika Shos Bayom, Hodalaka Shos Bayom. It depends whether or not there's enough time left in the day. You know, if the Din Torah is going to take into the night, and Dine Mamanos, as long as you start during the day, you can finish at night, etc., etc. So then, you have to interrupt. But if there's plenty of time left after the meal, after you're going to be finished, or doing whatever, to do the mitzvah, the Lulav and Esrog, to daven, so then you're not supposed to start before you do the mitzvah. But once you started, so you're allowed to finish it and then do the mitzvah afterwards if there's going to be shalos bayom. No.
Isn't the braita explicitly about tefillah and mincha?
Yes.
That's what Rashi said. Okay.
Yes, it is. Because they say by Mariv, you have to be mafsik immediately. Tosus talks about that. The Gemara in Shabbos does. Gemara in Shabbos explains why, but Tosus talks about it in our context. So Amar Rava, my kusha, what was the question in the first place? Dilma had daraisa had rabbanon. Mitzvah sluv and esrog is a din daraisa. Mitzvah tefilas amincha is a din darabanon. So maybe a din darabanon you don't have to be masik, but a din daraisa you do have to be masik. And by the way, the svara could also have been exactly the opposite. Why could it have been the opposite? Why by a din darabanon when you have to be masik, but a din daraisa you wouldn't? Because divrei Torah einam tzrichim chizik, divrei sofrim tzrichim chizik. Sometimes the Gemara will say the exact opposite. For example, Hanukkah is coming up. So today, we no longer observe Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus was the first written work of rabbinic literature. It was a list of days and the events that happen on them that you don't, some of them, you don't do Hespeid and Tainus on them, and some of them you don't even do the day before and the day after. So Megillas Tainus is batla, except for Hanukkah and Purim themselves. So the halacha, I think, is that when Megillas Tainus was operative, you weren't allowed to fast on Erev Hanukkah. But you are allowed to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Today, in fact, it's a minhag some have to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Yom Kippur Katan. So the question is, how can that be so? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that Rosh Chodesh, these are fasting, is Doraisa. Halalu Devei Torah, Devei Torah Ein Srichim Chizik, and Halalu Devei Sofen, Devei Sofen Srichim Chizik. Because Purim and Chanukah, the whole holiday and the mitzvah, the prohibition of fasting and being maspid, is only, obviously, then the Rabbanon, therefore the Chacham had to make it more chamor so people wouldn't come to be mezalzel in Chanukah and Purim themselves. That here the Gemara says that in terms of delaying the mitzvah, it's worse to delay a mitzvah Doraisa than to delay a mitzvah the Rabbanon. And therefore, Rava says, what was the question in the first place? Ela Amar Rava Ikasha Akasha. Now, Rava says, you know what the Kasha is? There's a steer in the Mishnah itself. Lachshikonis lebeisa, not la shochano. Alma de mafse. Vahadar ton, ilonot al shachris, yitol bein arbaim. Alma lo mafse. And as lonot al shachris, alright, so you get around to it, yitol bein arbaim. You don't have to stop your stuff. So Amar Abzeira, my kusha, that's not a steer either. Duma mitzvah lafsuke, vilo posik, yitol bein arbaim. It's not that in Lonot HaShachris it's okay in the middle of the meal not to have to stop. It means if the guy didn't do it, he should have been mafsik, possibly. But he wasn't mafsik. So what happens in the afternoon, because he was a bad boy and he wasn't mafsik in the morning? The answer is, he still is not to lulav because Zman lulav is kol hayom. Ela, The kasha was between our Mishnah and the Gemara and Shabbos, the Brice and Shabbos. We're dealing here with Yom Tov Sheni, not Yom Tov Rishon. So how could it be that he was holding Baderach on Yom Tov Rishon? I didn't look up the Rambam or the Shulchan Aruch on this. If I were a betting man, I'll probably be wrong on this one. I would not be surprised if the Rambam paskins that you're mafsik, bein biyom tov rishon, bein biyom tov sheni. But that's obvious anyway. Because if you're mafsik on Yom Tov Sheni, kal b'chomer you're mafsik on Yom Tov Rishon. So that's not going to prove anything. This looks like one of the kinds of ukimtas that the Rambam would ignore in the Mishnah Torah. All right. Be that as it may, Tosus just points out here that the Gemara, there is a Gemara in Brachos that says Hishkim Lotzeis Laderech Mevi'en Lo Shofar V'Tokeah Lulav Menanea, and that's obviously on Yom Tov because while Lulav is a mitzvah on Chol HaMoed, Shofar Rosh Hashanah doesn't have any Chol HaMoed. So Tosus says, really, if you wanted to, you can have somebody who's Baba Derech if he's going B'Toch HaTchum to take care. Let's say a Chacham, he wanted to go hear Shir. Went to hear Shir. His Rebbe is coming. He heard on Yom Tov. And he wants to make sure to get the shir on time. And he doesn't have time, you know, to do everything before to daven fully. But, I know, somebody wouldn't get the shir on time, chas v'shalom. We never want to have such a thing. But once upon a time, they were much firmer. So the chacham was coming, you wanted to go hear the shir. So he couldn't go late to the shir. He couldn't have time to have any davening in the morning. So the din is, before he goes on the derech, he'll be take care. He'll at least blow the shofar for the mitzvah d'oraisa. He'll take lulav nasa for the mitzvah d'oraisa. And that's on Yom Tov, because shofar's only on Yom Tov. So Tosa says that there, you couldn't have made the error, and that's why we don't assume that it's, since it's obvious, the Tan is willing to say Hayah Baba Derech, even though it's on Yom Tov. All right. Fine. Tosis points out, in light of your question, Noah, that the Gemara in Shabbos says that by Maariv you have to be mafsik. Why do you have to be mafsik by Maariv, not by Mincha? So the Gemara there says, because Maariv is mano kol alayla, because it has no zman kavua, people are going to be posheya. You'll get involved and you won't bother to stop because you keep telling yourself, oh, I can not marav later, I can not marav later. Mincha, people are under greater pressure because they know that the sun is setting, they know it has much more of a limited time. So Tosa says, why don't we say the same thing? Why don't we say the reason why you have to be mafsik by lulav is because lulav has much more limited time. It's only during the day. It's the middle of the day already. Whereas by Maariv, you know, with Maariv is never zmano kavua. That's what Tosus asks. So I'm not sure the kasha is so compelling. Because Lulav also doesn't have a Zman Kavua. It's all day. It's no more hours than Mar. But Tosis gives another answer. He's Docha one answer, but he suggests he shouldn't say, well, he shouldn't say it's because we're afraid you're going to go to sleep, because the Gemara doesn't say that in Shabbos. That's not why. The Gemara just says, because Zmano Kala Laila Asi Lemisha. So Tosis makes a different suggestion. He says that Tefillah, we're makbin on when it has no zman kavua, because guess what? It takes time to daven. It takes a frame of mind. How long does it take to pick up the lulav and esrog? Like that. So the fact that the zman kavua, we're not worried about it. We're not worried you can poshe because it's such an easy mitzvah to do. So that can't be the reason why you have to be mafsik for lulav. Okay, fine.
Or maybe I said the question wrong.
Right. No, Adarab, I said it wrong. Tosa asked the smart way. I got it confused. The Gemara should have said the answer is the reason why you can't be Docha the Lulav is because Mano Kaleim, just like Marib, is Mano Kaleim and Asi Lemifsha. So Tosa's answer is no, that even a Lulav is Mano Kaleim, it's so easy to do that we're not concerned about, but on those grounds we wouldn't be concerned about a person's Pshia. Okay, and now the Mishnah, we're going to read just the Mishnah and the beginning of the Gemara, not the hollow stuff today. Misha haya eved o isha o katan makrin oso ona achareihem ashein omrim. And the person needed to say halal on Yom Tov but doesn't know how to say halal, doesn't know the halal, doesn't know how to read, doesn't have a sitter, can't read out of a sitter if you have one, a katan or an isha can be makrehim, and he responds whatever they say. Meaning he repeats word for word. Why does he have to repeat word for word? Why not shomei ka'ona?
They
They're not chayiv in the mitzvah. So Tosis points out, sounds like an isha is not chayeves in halal of Yom Tov. Even though she, it does seem, he says, that she's chayeves in the halal of Lo Pesach. How does he know that isha is chayeves in the halal of Pesach? Because, well, that's why. That's his answer. How do you know that isha is chayeves in the halal of Lo Pesach? He says, because an isha is chayeves in the Arba Kosos. And the Arba Kosos of Pesach, each one of them, I always tried to drill this into my children when they were young. I felt like I was a litvak. Instead of inspiring them, I was before the Seder, I would tell them, what are the four mitzvahs of the night that we do? Because each one has a coach. The answer is Kiddush Hayom, Magid, Birchas Hamazon, and Halal. Each has its coach. So if a woman is chayeves in the Arba Kosos, she's also chayeves in all the four mitzvahs. She's chayeves in Kiddush Hayom Midaraisa, she's chayeves in Agad Midaraisa. I don't know about Birchas Hamazon, that's a shayla that the Gemara has. That we'll talk about that in a moment. And she's chayeves in Halal, Tosa says Medina. So Tosa says that's why, because apparently this is different than the halal of Sukkot. In fact, if you look at the Gemara in Arachin that lists the Shmonas Ayom Shagomer Boas Halal. So what are the 18 days that were Gomer as a halal? 8 days of Chanukah, 7 days of Sukkot, 1 day of Shavuos, 1 day of Pesach, and was the last one Erev Pesach with the Korban Pesach? I don't remember, but they don't count Lo Pesach. So, am I missing something? I counted eight. You're right. I'm sorry. It should have been eight. Eight, eight, one, and one, right? They don't count the Halal Erev Pesach, in fact, because that's not a Halal of Simcha. That's probably a Halal Zecher L'Nes. So that's what Tosu says here. The Halal Lo Pesach as well, the night of Pesach, Hashir Yelachem, Kilel Hiskadish Chag, as the Gemara says. So that Halal, when the woman of Chayavasin, Sha'afin Ebersenes, the Halal, the Mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov, that aspect of Halal, they are not Chayav. And that's a Mitzvah Sesheshes Man Grama. Okay, but the Mishnah says, with Tavalo Me'ira, a curse upon him. Tavalo Me'ira, if his wife and his child have to read to them. Rashi writes, Tavalo Me'ira, it's a little bit harsh. Shalom lamad v'im lamad tavalo me'ira shemivazes kono lasu shluchim ke'ela. It's a little bit of harsh language. He's mevaze the Rebbeinu Shalom to have an ishar a katan be a shaliach. So first, Tosos number one points out that the Rashi is wrong in the wrong place. In this case, is the katan of the ishar shaliach in the Mishnah?
Yeah.
No, the katan ishar not be motziim. They're not a shaliach. The katan ishar are just helping him read the halal. He thinks it belongs on the Gemara when they talk about Birchas Hamazon, which we'll talk about in 2 minutes. Tosas also explains, I don't know if he's trying to soften Rashi. Why in Mevaz es Kono to bring Shluchim Keila? The answer is, they're not, in this case, Tosas says, they're not B'nei Chiyuva. They're not B'nei Chiyuva by the Halel. And that's why Tavalo Me'era, because you're relying to, in order for someone, you who are Chayiv in the Mitzvah, you're such an Amoritz, you don't want to do it. And instead, you need the help of people who, you know, who themselves are not chayavim and yet still know how to do it. Many years ago, I once heard a story about a Rebbe in a co-ed high school. When he gave back the Gemara exam, he excoriated the students, the young men, because a girl got the highest mark on the Gemara exam. Not a nice thing to do. Not an appropriate thing to say. There's only one kernel of truth in it, which is the young men are chayav in Talmud Torah, and the young women are not technically chayavos in Talmud Torah. It's true. But nonetheless, it depends what the motivation was. And the motivation was to spur the boys on, because you're chayav in the mitzvah, and you're being outdone by people who are chayav in the mitzvah, maybe that we justified. If it's somehow it's embarrassed that a girl could be smarter than you, so that's not nice. Because there are plenty of young women who are smarter than plenty of young men. Yes, Gail?
It wasn't his invention. It's a midrash on no tzolfas. But having no tzolfas in the Torah better than the men did, and making fun of them for that.
Again, but that's not because, how could it be? Again, that's the Kavana Rishona. Right. Right. The women loved Eretz Yisrael more than the men did. Right. That wasn't meant to denigrate the women. It was meant to denigrate the men. But sometimes, I think that the comment that was made, I'm not sure was meant to denigrate the men. I think it was meant to denigrate the boys in that class and women in general. I could be wrong. Efshar? Yes, no.
Is this a rush in Kiddushin about Gadol Mitzvah Mishonet Mitzvah Osen? And Tosfos Rosh says that his explanation is that someone that's a mitzvah, it's Ratzon Hashem for them to be doing the mitzvah, but someone who's not mitzvah is doing something that's unwanted and unwarranted.
So if you kind of take that from there, extract that from here and bring it here, it kind of makes sense that someone is facilitating something that they are not meant to technically be part of.
I'm doubting your recollection of Tosfos. If only because you're reading more than I think there's in Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't think it's a bad thing that someone who's not mechuyev in the mitzvah does it.
No, it was a rush. Not.
No, I don't believe such a thing.
I promise you. I've seen it in the Achrim as well.
That people aren't supposed to be
it's
a volunteer.
It's really puzzling Tosa rush.
Must be a Tosa sofer. It's against the Gemara.
So.
The Gemara, Rabbi Yosef.
It's a philosophical point. I think it's a really theological Tosa rush. If someone isn't included in the Repto, then why is doing something?
Why did Rabbi Yosef did mitzvahs no matter what? But Rabbi Yosef said, who was blind, who would have been potter if you hold the blind person as potter, as a machlokas. So Rabbi Yosef originally said that I would make a yom tov. What? Correct. So you see, Rabbi Yosef thought it was a good thing to do it anyway, but he preferred the option that when you get more schar, that it's a bigger mitzvah, that it's a bigger challenge. That's all. Not that you shouldn't be doing it. It's assumed Tosfos and Rush and Ashkenaz women were doing mitzvahs all the time, Moreh Chayavis, and they let them make brachos. The Rush paskins that way, Tosfos paskins that way. Lo yuman. Okay, you have to show it to me another time. I know you're not bekavana distorting Tosfos or Rush.
Yeah, of course not.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense.
I hear. Okay. So anyway, so the Gemara, the Mishnah continues. Rashi doesn't say anything on the Mishnah. I haven't looked at the Gemara yet, but I assume that the Lebarech here is the bracha achrona. Everybody holds that you make a bracha before, right? Abaye says it just like by Megillah. The mitzvah before Megillah is a berachas mitzvah as a chiyuv. It's almost like a matir for the mitzvah. The bracha after Megillah, like the bracha after Halal, is tali b'minag. Our minag happens to be that we make the bracha. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon. So the Gemara in Brachos wanted to use this line to prove that Brachos HaMazon for an Isha is Daraisa, and the Gemara says that's a ridiculous proof. Because after all, a katan, even if an Isha is Chayav is Daraisa, it's a machlokas, it's a safek, a katan is not Chayav is Daraisa. How can a katan be motzi his father? So the Gemara says it's a case where the father only ate a shir de Rabbanon. Only ate a shir d'rabbanon. That's assuming, by the way, that there is such a thing. That's a machlokas harishonim. What the shir d'raisa is for berachas hamazon. Is it a kazayah / kabeitza, Ramei Rehuda, which is certainly the shir, but it's a question whether that shir is the raisa d'rabbanon, or is it kedei sviya? So the Gemara only works, the Gemara's answer only works if you assume that kedei sviya is the raisa, kazayah and kabeitza is the rabbanon. So that is a machlokas in the Gemara, it's a machlokas harishonim how we paskin. So and what emerges from that is whether or not, I think it does emerge from that, whether or not an Isha is Chayavis and Berachas HaMazon in a Torah or not. Okay, there's an interesting Tosfos here. I'll finish with this. I spoke to the Smicha students on Friday about this. This was just a short halachic piece before a much broader discussion about two specific women's issues. One was Megillah, a woman's Megillah reading, and the other was a hakavah, so a carrying sefer Torah, Simchas Torah. So I didn't have a chance to mention this because I didn't want to take the time on it. But there's a Karban Nisanel that's cited by the Mishnah Berura, quoting a Tosfos here, of claiming that Tosfos says that a woman should not read for multiple women. Now, the woman could be motzi a woman, we shouldn't read for multiple women because it's zila milsa. So the truth is, so the Mishnah Berurah just points to the Karban Asano, who points to this Tosfos, and I think it's incorrect. Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos here is actually talking about the famous machlokas, the famous sheet of the Bahag, that a man cannot read, a woman cannot be read for a man for Megillah purposes. The Gemara in Arachin seems to say, the Braisa seems to say, that women are chayavos like men in Megillah reading, and many Rishonim, the Rambam, Rashi, and many others, paskin that a woman can be motzi a man, in fact, Mikra Megillah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes two deos, but we hold lachatchila, a woman cannot be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah. Chacham Avadi, I think, has a tshuva, that if there's literally no man who can possibly read to be motzi himself, then a woman can be motzi the man or the men. But a woman reading for women, so the only possible objection, one, there's a Medrash HaNelam that the Magen Avraham quotes, which the Gra says is wrong. The Medrash HaNelam is talking about women reading for men. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a woman reading from multiple women, quotes this Karban Nisanel, which again is not what Tosas says. What Tosas does say is the following. The Bahag holds that a woman can't read for men, but there is two there some Rishonim as to what the Bahag means. What I thought is the more famous Shita interpretation of the Bahag is the Bahag held that the Chiyuv of men in Mikra Megillah and the women in Mikra Megillah are two different Chiyuv. A man has a Chiyuv in Kriyas HaMegillah, a woman only has a Chiyuv in Shmiyas HaMegillah. And this distinction, by the way, is reflected in the Ramah's claim that if a woman is reading the Megillah for women, the bracha they make is not Al Mikra Megillah, but Lishmo Megillah. Because only in mitzvah Shmiyah. And if once you say that, then of course a woman cannot be motzi a man because she doesn't have the same level of chiyuv. It's kol mi she'enem chuyuv b'davar, enem motzi sarav yidei chovasan. Tosas here, though, has a different understanding of the Bahag, but he's talking about a woman reading for men. Tosas says, if you look at the end, he says, inami, last line, mishum derabim zila b'humilsa. He's trying to explain something in his own context. And now he points to the fact that it's zila milsa to have an isha be motziya sarabim, even though she's mechuyebes. He says, proof, he says, dare megillah, the nashim chayavos ba, who perish bahag, de nashim motzios es harabim yidei chovasan the megillah. Right? They're chayavos, and nonetheless they're not motzi, because they don't have the same, because it's zila b'milsa. Who does the Bahag say a woman can't be motzi as a rabbin? Bahag doesn't say a woman can't be motzi women. If you look in the Bahag, Tosas quotes on Rachid, a woman can't be motzi a man. And, and the interesting thing about this shita, this version of the Bahag, it might be that a woman could be motzi an individual man, but she can't be motzi as a rabbin. So I don't think we assume that way. I think we assume that a woman cannot be motzi a man because of Wachoshesh for the Bahag, that the chiyav of a woman is actually on a different level. And therefore it's mamish, alpidin not motzi, not just about zila milsa b'rabim. But the Tosas is not talking about a woman being motzi other women. I'm not discussing the issue more broadly, but just pointing out that this Tosas, in fact, is not in any way a raya, not a halachic obstacle, not an issue in terms of a woman being motzi multiple women. When he talks about rabim here, it means a rabim of men, because this Tosas is mahalach in the Bahag, is that a woman has the same level of chiyuv, but it's zila milsa for a woman to be motzi the rabim. Noah?
I think that's what the Bahag is saying. Seemingly Tosas would say two things. He's saying, one, on the technical level, women can be able to be motzi men because of zila milsa. And then it's also saying, v'perush Bahag, in addition to that, in Hashem motzi rabim deich motzam mikil. I think that the Bahag is the shitato, the way that is explained elsewhere, that it's about the chiyuv.
Shmiyah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that this is read by the Acharonim as the Bahag's. I think it is, but we don't have to take time now. This is a reading in Tosas the Bahag, which is different than the standard reading.
Right.
I'd be happy if you were right, but I think that
it.
Because this is part. It's very hard. What's that?
I spent a lot of time on this.
I think if you read the Tosas Kipshuto Inami, the rest of it is all part of this. I hear what you're suggesting, but I don't think so.
And
it's a chiyuvin. It's Shmiya versus Kriya.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. But I think that the Karban Asanel's reading of Tosas is correct, that he's talking about, this is Tosas' understanding of the Bahag, why you're not, woman's not, motz, not is not going to be read for men. But I think he's talking about women for men, not women for women. The rabbim here are the men. Okay. Anyway, fine. So this will be where the Bechina will end in terms of Bechias.